Good afternoon, church. It is a great joy once again to stand before you, bringing the word of God to you. Indeed, we are brothers and sisters, a family in Christ Jesus. I like what Pastor Chris said. A huge family. We find us even in America. It's true. It's true. You guys know the guy called John MacArthur?
John MacArthur.
John Piper?
John
Boddy Buckham?
Boddy Buckham.
You know those guys?
Yeah,
CJ Mahani?
CJ Mahani.
Family. I don't look at you.
Wrong.
But the family that we have is not a perfect family. But also an expectation, though we are not perfect. Okay. There is an expectation. I asked him to speak in Zuzu. I personally did, but he told me, "Kuno bangasi Zuzu, it's fine." You know what does that do? It slows me down. So now I'm gonna talk slow today. But it's okay. It's all right. Hagman King, I'll be nice to you. I still want him to be. I still want him to be a member of the church. I'll be nice.
Resign amongst you, Alan.
All right. That's your plan, I know. That is the plan, eh? Okay, anyway, church, please turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, verse
13.
We read verse 13.
So I go verse 13.
And you open your Bibles again in 1 Peter chapter 4. We read from verse 7 to verse 10.
From verse 7 till verse 10.
I'm not bringing you a thorough exposition of scripture. But I want to throw a few platitudes from the scripture on my view, how I think should be the best way for a saved sinner to save others. The question I'm aiming to address, how can a saved sinner save others? How can a saved sinner, regenerated, justified, set apart, child of God? Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, save one another. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 to 10.
Petros Ukala chapter 4, verse 7 to 10.
The end of all time, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. And each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Let's add verse number 11. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever says as one who says by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. May the church of God say amen.
Amen.
How can a saved sinner save others? Most believers can tell you that God is love. But almost none of them can show you that God is love. They tell you that Jesus saves. But none of them is willing, or not all of them are willing, to share the gospel truth unto you. They tell you that God provides. But they will not let God use them to provide. In
2003,
me and Baba Ras, that is Brother Selo, we went out preaching from house to house. We met a lady who wanted nothing to do about Jesus or the church. We persuaded her. We tried to find out what is the problem. Why would she show such hatred, immorality, hostility towards God and the church? And she said, she was once hungry, and she had not eaten for more than 7 days. She thought she was going to die. But then she swallowed her pride and went to one of the Christian churches in Olivan. She was told to sit after listening to her story. And then during the service, they called her to the front. They prayed over her. And then they said to her, all you need is faith. Now what you're going to do is this. Go home. Wash your pots. Kneel down before them. Pray the God of heaven. God will make sure He provides food for you immediately. She did exactly that.
There's
Baba Ras. Not as made up story. She did that. She prayed. And prayed. And prayed. Until she fainted. Many minutes later, she woke up. There was no food. God has failed her. Jesus did not come through for her. Jesus did not fulfill His promise. From that day, she never wanted to hear anything about Jesus or the church, because Jesus could not save her in a time of need. And actually, it's because people who call themselves Christian could not save her in the time of need.
Then
she hated the church. Friends, if that was the church of Jesus Christ, that would have been an opportunity to save. But at the same time, you must know it is easy for any Tom and Jerry out there to save. So what is... Let me bring the question of yesterday. What will be the difference then between good morals and the works of sanctification? Maybe that's what I should be asking. Because they fail to serve. But there's a possibility that someone who never calls himself a Christian can also serve. So I want us to consider then what separates the Christian and the world in serving. What separates us? Yes. This is a very important question. It's a very important subject, since the church is full of hypocrites. The church is full of people who just want to come and sit down and sit back there and be saved. That's all they want to do. Twisted-minded people who have cut off hands and feet. They are cut off hands. They've got cut off hands and feet. The only thing that is there is the big mouth. I'm glad you find that as a joke. Normally in my church they say I'm not funny, so I'm happy with people laughing. Cut off hands and feet. Big mouth. Firstly, I think serving others should be rooted in our salvation. It should be something in which we always look back to. That unchanging truth of our freedom in Christ Jesus. Verse number 13, where we just read, Galatians chapter 5. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. The Apostle Paul says here, we need to know that we are free from the past life, we are free from the past experiences, we are free from self-righteousness, we are free from religiousness. We must know that the Son has set us free and we are free indeed. We are free from the law of sin. We are free from worthiness. We are free from
customs.
So now, how we save others is no longer rooted in the thought of what God will do or what God will give me if I will save someone. But it comes as a spiritual service. Something that I do because the Lord Jesus Christ has done something within my heart. So you can save others well, only if the saving is rooted on the fact that you have experienced freedom. A freedom which belongs to us not as mere men but as children of God. We should not save others in any way than the way in which Christ would serve his church. I would have loved to make so many examples, but it will sound like I'm stealing from my friends' messages. But I think I'll mention that later when it comes to how Christ loved, the love of Christ. But we should serve others with our hearts and our minds focused unto Jesus. So we will not serve in a godly way if we are still bound by worldly things and worldly standards. When we think we need to do things because we must win favor with God, we cannot serve faithfully. In our Q&A yesterday, I mentioned how my Hindu boss have saved my family. How he has saved our family. But only because he believes in what they call reincarnation. He believes that if he can do so much good to me and everyone else, then in his next life he'll be worthy again. He'll be a man of power, that rich young ruler who shall just do all the things right. Such kind of serving is serving that is not rooted in the knowledge of God. It is a serving that is just mere works of the flesh. Something that is controlled by passion and ignorance. But true faithfulness and true servanthood can only derive from the cross. It derives from the cross and it flows out of the Christian as the effect of justification, as the effect of our reconciliation with God. That is our saving. It's rooted on the cross, blowing through us, showing the world that we are the children of God. That is what we see in Acts chapter number 6. Actually, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 44 and 46. It says, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and generous hearts. We are free, my friends, to serve. And I'm convinced that the saving that we produce or the saving that we do to one another is God's plan of building his church. Write that down, young man. The way we serve is God's plan of building His church.
You'll get it later.
So I serve unbelievers because I want to bring them to salvation. I serve believers because I want them to relate to this saving power of Christ that is in me. Which is why then the goal of serving, my friends, of saving one another, is to serve God. It's to show our Christ-likeness, to display the fruit of our salvation to one another, to strengthen the local church, to strengthen our fellowship, to show that now we are free in Christ Jesus, no longer bound by self and the things of the world and the customs of the world. So the freedom that the Apostle Paul is talking about here is salvation, my friend. When that cloud that covers our eyes, the cloud of ignorance is removed from our eyes, only then we will stop saying, I don't want to get involved with the church. I don't want to enrich. In other words, you are saying, I don't want to enrich others with the life that God has given to me. I don't want to contribute to the overall work of the church. I'm happy to be a Christian in my small space. You must have to be a Christian also in your small space. Don't worry, we will meet on Sunday. We will bump on each other on Sunday, but don't worry about that. I will bounce off and live my life, and I see you again in the next Sunday. Oh, my friends, that is our attitude. Then we have not yet understood the freedom that we have in Christ. Serving others is a display of our godliness. We remember in the book of Ruth. In the book of Ruth, we find Boaz. There's a man called Boaz serving Ruth in a very special way. The Bible tells us that he ordered his servants to just drop, to leave corns, so that Ruth, when she comes, she may just pick it up. The freedom that we have is that kind of freedom that creates the passion that is essential for our effectiveness. Think of that story that I just told you now.
Boaz
ordering his servants. There's a young lady. She's in need. When you glean corn in the field, just drop few corn on the road. That is what serving creates, the passion of our effectiveness. It helps us to understand that we are serving because we also have been saved. We are saved to serve. Not just to make this world a better place. It should not be our mission to make the world a better place. You need to start on a one-on-one basis. The problem that I think we have with the church, and I've realized also in the terms of missions, we just go, but at times we want to start by reaching a lot of people and leave the few individuals who are suffering and struggling next to us, the roots who are struggling next to us, those who are not employed but brothers and sisters in the Lord, we're passing them by. But we want to say, oh, gently, Savior, pass me not while I'm passing others. Thank you. Remember that story.
The
story of Boaz creating that passion in us to be effective, understanding that we are saved to serve. You serve Jesus because you have been made free. And just as your deliverance depended on Jesus, So it is with your liberty. It depends on Jesus. Our freedom, our salvation also depends on Jesus. So we cannot trust Jesus to save us, but not trust Jesus to continue with us. Because when Jesus continued with us, which was mentioned yesterday, we must see the character of Christ being produced, coming out of our lives. Friends, we are saved to save. We are saved from the curse of the law. We are saved from the curse of Adam. We are saved from spiritual death. You have also been set free from condemnation and the power of Satan. But we are not free. Even though we are free from all these things I've mentioned. Let me repeat again. Free from the curse of Adam. Free from condemnation. Free from the authority of Satan. Free from the power of sin. But you are not free from saving others. Actually, you are being set free to save. Church, I'm convinced that we must serve each other in a way that it shines our light so that the world may see our good works and glorify our God. That God may be glorified in what we do. Because as we do that, in other words, we are agreeing with Jesus that indeed we are the light of the world. Lives characterized by the gospel. Remember what Jesus said of himself in Mark chapter 10 verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to save, and to give his life a ransom for many. The God of heaven, the creator of the universe, became man, took on our own form to serve man. The judge of the living and the dead came to serve man. And as he served man, men followed him. I'm not saying all those who followed Jesus were saved. Saving can be a light, an enlightenment for the gospel. Saving others may draw men to Jesus. We've seen that in his life. The Bible says, as he went out to all the synagogues in Galilee, healing people from their diseases. And the Bible says at the end of the day, people from all the areas, Judea, even Jordan, they followed him. Because Jesus came to save. So we serve others to strengthen our relationship with God by cultivating that relationship with other people. We are strengthening our relationship with God. We are showing that we are the children of God. We are showing our Christlessness. We are shining that gift of salvation that has been given to us freely by the Holy Spirit. We all have been influenced by the Holy Spirit, my friend. Let us look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10.
1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10.
We read there. I'm just going to take a small phrase. It says, each has received a gift. In other words, every Christian has received a gift from the Holy Spirit, which can contribute to the welfare of others. We are all have been influenced by the Holy Spirit positively to render to others that which God has granted to us freely. To render to others service that we have not worked for. To render to others service according to the gracious supply of God. Which is why then I'm saying our saving should begin in our understanding of the fact that we are saved. That's why, how can a saved sinner save? You have to understand first that you are saved. You have to understand then that there is an expectation. What is it that God expects from me? And what is it that other people of God or the people of the world expect from me? So I have to sit back. How can I do this? The cross. I need to find out whether I'm standing right with the Lord. So that I just don't serve as mere moral things, good morals, but the works of sanctification. If your salvation is real, my friend, you'll be free to save. How can a sinner serve others? You serve with a saved mentality. You serve with your eyes looking unto Jesus. I know that is not really practical now. But secondly, now because of this salvation that we have received, serving others should be rooted then in selflessness. Because of our salvation, serving others now should be rooted in selflessness. That's where the difference starts to be now. Verse number 13 again. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Friends, we need to be aware that self-will and self-service and self-centeredness is the essence of sin. That is whereby we concentrate to ourselves. We concentrate to our own needs. We concentrate to our own interests. But as the newborn children of God, you need to put yourself out and put others first. You put yourself aside, my friends. And you can see a great example in chapter number 6 of the book of Acts. You remember what happened in the book of Acts? Even though that story, my friend, comes to resolve actually the conflict that there was, that is caused by culture and language, but there's a principle there. The problem there was raised by the clash between the cultures that has come together in the church. But it opened for a godly function in the church. In verse number 1 to 3, let me paraphrase. We are told that the apostle took that matter very serious and they decided... And they decided that someone needed to step up so that he can serve the people selflessly. Someone had to step up to serve the people selflessly. And in verse 5 tells us that such selflessness has to be the effect of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. We are told that those who were chosen to serve were men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, men who will not think of themselves but think of the house of the Lord and the gospel and Jesus Christ first, men who will think of the church first, men of good reputation, powered by the Holy Spirit. What is the difference, my friend, between good morals and the work of sanctification? We find that in chapter number 6 of the book of Acts, they did not serve to build reputation. Catch that one. They did not serve to build good reputation. The Bible says they were men of good reputation. Because of the fact that they were men of good reputation, then they were chosen, they were fit to serve. So don't say to become famous. No, God makes us famous. When you are in Christ, we are famous. We are called the child of God. But then, from that spring forth, serving.
I hope
you caught that one, young man. Service rushed out of them.
We are poor, Magugo.
Selflessly. Without thinking of self, but thinking of Christ. Remember the story of the good Samaritan in Luke chapter number 10? Jesus identified there a good neighbor as someone or anyone who comes across in need. A good neighbor is someone who comes across when we're in need. The beaten up man there had two potential people to serve him. He has two potential helpers. Two potential. Which is the priest and the Levite. These people, they understood the law of God. They knew the law. A priest knows the law. A Levite knows the law. But their knowledge of the law was futile because it was not put into practice. They refrain from serving. They didn't show that selflessness in that situation. But a good Samaritan came across and he showed us what true serving is. He went an extra mile. The Bible says he went to him. So he came out of his animal because he was on top of an animal. Then he came out and went to that beaten up man. He bound his wounds. Pouring oil over them and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him into an inn and he took care of him. And the next day he took out two denarius and then he gave that to the innkeeper, saying to him, to the innkeeper, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. That is what we should be. Selfless servers. Someone who's willing to come out or come off his high horse and see someone in need and serve him. So as you look around, my friends, and you see that Christian serving is destroyed. God is serving is destroyed by selfishness. As you look around, it is because we have given in to flesh. We have given flesh enough opportunity to self-indulgence. And the only way back, my friend, is to see your need. Your need of the grace of God. If you understand that you had a need, the only way back to serve is to see other people's need then.
And then meet
that need. Selflessness will also lead us to serve others in a manner in which we speak. In a manner in which we speak, we serve others. It teaches us to serve with gentleness. Because gentleness grows as the Spirit of God works in us. Selflessness also teaches us to serve others with joy. Because what we do comes out of our obedience to God. Selflessness teaches us humility, my friend. It teaches us not to demand praise for a service that we have done and take credit that it belongs to others. Listen to what the Apostle Peter says in chapter number 5, verse 5. Clothe yourself all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Friends, humility leads to God's blessing. God gives grace to the humble. My point is this, my friend. It is not only what we do that is important, but the way we do it. It's very important how we do it. I mentioned selflessness. I mentioned gentleness. I mentioned that we do it with joy. The way we do it matters. Our deeds of righteousness counts, my friend. Even though no one is justified by works, but the works of righteousness must be seen. That is when we know that we serve in the heart of Christ. With a purpose that is centered to the cross. Without thinking of a gain. The problem that we have today, when people want to serve, they want to gain. Sometimes a gain to gain popularity. It is difficult today in the church for people to understand that what you give with your left hand, even the right must not know. Go to those Facebook pages. Go to the Facebook page.
Mother
Lord, I just want to know. Pray for Pastor Chris. I just bought him a car. Pray for him. He must not be on accidents. Friends, that is the attitude that we shouldn't have. Everything is known about us on Facebook. Just to bring attention to ourselves. Oh, good friends. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility towards one another. God opposes the proud, give grace to the humble. It is not only what we do. It is not only what we do. How we do it matters.
Deadly.
Because of salvation, serving others should be rooted in love. I
won't
be saying a lot about that. Since yesterday, Mfundisi Bongani have said so much about love. But I'll just bring a few things as well. Serving others should be rooted in love. We called it what was this one? Vertical.
Love.
Verse 13 again.
Verse 13.
But through love, serve one another.
Uthando lwempela liyasebenzela abantu.
True love, serve one another.
Uthando lwempela lisebenza
abantu. One scripture that I'm not allowed to mention.
Omunye ngeke ngimbize.
Because the last time John Piper actually brought that man to a conference, people almost stoned John Piper.
Ngelinye ilanga uJohn Piper kuyamletha esontweni nabanye abantu bathishe bamshaya bamjikijela ngamandla.
Also wanna stone Piper for that, but.
Andami Piper.
So I'm not gonna mention the guy, but this is what he says. He says love is not a schoolyard romance.
Uthi uthando akusiyinto yasesikolweni nje.
A schoolyard romance or a relationship that is dictated by competition. Just because Pastor Fu has got that, I must also have, then I must act like I love. It is not a schoolyard romance. But he says, love is a mother stumbling to feed her baby for the fifth time in one night. A mother who wakes up even knowing that tomorrow I'm going to work, but five times in one night, he still wakes up to feed the child. He says, he compares the two. That shows love. So my friends, the essence of love is not what we think, is not what we do, is not what we provide to others, but how we give ourselves to them. Have you given yourself lately? I'm not talking about romantic love. I can see young men, you are smiling.
Have you given yourself
to someone? Is there someone in the church who said, you know what, I want to serve that man? Love is the guiding principle in all Christian relationships, my friend. That is why without Christ-likeness, love, our relationship will be dominated by selfishness. So, We have to love and serve others in spite of the fact that they get in our nerves sometimes. Some people, they get on our nerves sometimes. They fail us. They are not perfect. But in spite of that fact, the fact that they are difficult to us sometimes, remember the story of Judas Iscariot. He carried the money back for me to give you the right to carry my money back in the church. It's because I like you.
I
confess, this is confession.
The confession.
Judas carried the money back.
Judas,
he was
loved.
No. You are not Judas. As long as you not become Judas. But Jesus loved the man. He carried the money back. Judas was saved the same way as the other 11 disciples were saved. Can I prove that to you? But before I prove that to you, let me just remind you. It was only Judas' sinfulness that drove Judas crazy. Nobody else drove him crazy. His sinful nature drove him crazy. Nobody. Love didn't drive him crazy. He had the best love ever. But he was not driven crazy by that. But I can show you that he was saved the same way as others were saved. Jesus never treated him in a very different way. There was no sign of partiality against him. Why? Which is why the disciple, even for 3 years, they did not know who was going to betray Jesus Christ. For 3 years they did not know. Jesus knew from the start. He said, I called all of you. Yet one of you is a devil. Jesus knows the devil by seeing him just the devil. Pastor Spoo says, how can you even dare stand before Jesus and says, I've done everything right? He knows what is in your heart. He knows men's hearts. But did he show any partiality to Judas? I beg to differ. He was loved. Friends, let the love of Christ help us to serve. Let it be that which drives us crazy, not sin.
I saw.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. Good for you were here yesterday, you know what that means. And another man says, love is at work when I see its effects. We were talking yesterday, me and Pastor Spoo, and I said to him, I make an example, I said I will also say it today. You don't have to always say, it must be seen. Yeah, I must say it, but you must also see it. Practice love. Practice love. We were just talking. Thank you, Spoo. I'll practice love, Mama. I'll practice love, church. Peter says in verse number 8, we read the first book of Peter chapter 4, in Peter verse 8 it says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sin. Church, love is active and actually means something in practice. It is active. It means something in practice. Of course, people have their own way of understanding. People have their own sins and they sometimes sin against us. But the book of Peter says we need to overlook those sins sometimes. We need to cover those sins. Not in a sense of pretending that those sins do not exist or condoning those sins. But in saving one another in love. How do we do that? We don't pretend when we serve. We serve with our hearts. In other words, you will not take delight in exposing sins and failures of your brother and sister when you try to serve that brother. That love, our love, to cover all sins. I'm not serving people so that I can know their sin and expose their sin, but I need to know your sin, pray for your sin, get counseling about your sin. That is serving. Not tell each other, have you heard kuthi ubaba uRas Mara yazi,
ungathi hey uzilo baba uRas Mara yazi.
Love covers all sins. We don't take delight in exposing other people's sins and faults. We pray for one another. We forgive one another's trespasses and sins, imitating that mercy of God which we have received by the grace of God. Remember, Jesus took a towel and a basin and washed his disciples' feet. What does that teach you? Love should move us to save people. Love should bring us down to their dirty feet. Jesus went down to the disciples' dirty feet. That is where love must drive us. And as we go to those people's dirty feet, God fills our basin with the water of love more and more. So we have to save others in spite of their faults and failures. We have to save others and not be judgmental. Do not turn your back on people because they disagree with you. Because sometimes they say things or do stupid things. They sometimes act in a way that you wouldn't act. You must still cherish them. I'm saying woe unto you with such an attitude that you think you are better than Jesus. Jesus, who came from the fresh breeze of heaven, coming to breathe this dusty wind of this earth to save a sinner like me. Who unto you for thinking you are better than Christ if you will not save those dirty feet? Oh, friends, where love abounds, offenses are frequently overlooked and quickly forgotten. Where there is love, offenses are quickly forgotten and they are overlooked. That is the love that comes from Christ. Fourthly, because of salvation, serving others should be rooted in generosity. Hospitality. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 9. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. So the Apostle Paul says we are obligated to practice hospitality to one another. We need to serve one another's material needs. We should not only desire to see people being saved by the blood of Jesus, but we need to see them saved materially as well. Did you catch that one? Our job as Christians, it is to see the world worship Jesus. But we should not light in that only. That the world must see Jesus. We must serve. In that way the world will see Jesus. Peter says without grumbling. So we must concern ourselves with other people's material welfare, my friends. Of course, that does not mean we should give to people's preferences and wishes. No, it doesn't mean we should give in to people's preferences and wishes. Remember when Jesus knelt before Peter to wash his feet? Peter would not allow Jesus to wash him because of his own personal preferences. He didn't allow Jesus because he says, "You are the Messiah. I don't prefer that the Messiah should wash my feet." But Peter's preferences did not stop Jesus. He did not stop Jesus to perform his appointed service. Peter did not get his way. Serving others doesn't mean people must get their way. At the same time, the fact that people have another idea how to be saved doesn't mean we must stop. But here is this other part that the Apostle Peter is saying. We must serve without grumbling.
usebenze ngaphandle
kokukhala. I think that is the biggest problem. When we want to serve, everyone wants to serve. But as much as we serve, then we expect others to join us as we serve. And then when we expect people to join and serve with us, and they are not joining to serve with us, then we are grumbling. Serve without grumbling. Because that's how God commands His church to serve. Be hospitable. Do not pretend in your hospitality. Do not serve to impress others. Give with your time. Give with what you have. I know people who have baby chairs. They want to keep a baby chair, but the boy is 17 already. Give out that chair. Somebody needs it, man. 17 years old.
I have a baby chair.
I'm still going to have a baby. No, that's my last one. Save, friends. Give to others. Peter, verse 11, says, whoever serves must serve as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. Those who serve, in other words, must depend on the strength that they get from Jesus. They must draw strength to serve from Christ. That is why then, if you draw strength from Christ, when people are not joining you to serve with you, you will not grumble. In that way, serving is made possible. In that way, serving is not burdensome. In that way, serving is the only way in which God alone can be glorified. You need to serve with goodness of heart, my friend. You must serve not just as those of the world. They serve those who are lovable and fun. I can only serve those who are fun to be with, and they are actually my friends. That is worthiness, my friends. We need to receive people as they are. Opening our homes to others. Making them feel welcome. Making them feel acceptable. Meeting their needs without grumbling. Inviting people to your house.
People like to complain.
Open your heart and your home to someone. Remember that prostitute Rahab. He opened her home to strangers. People sent by God to view the land which belonged to her in order to take it from her. But she opened her home as soon as she heard that these are the chosen people of God. How can you close your home from someone of the elect of God? How dare you? How dare you not give out that extra thing to someone who is saved by the precious blood of Jesus? If a prostitute like Rahab can serve, she chose to die for the people of God or with the people of God. They ate what she ate. They slept where she slept. Church, I am saying we are sinning with this grumbling. We must stop this grumbling. We must stop this isolation. I know maybe your theology won't fit, but let me ask, how many of those of God's angels we have closed our doors from? The writer of Hebrews says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by that some have entertained angels unaware. It must always be in our minds, my friends, that in the house of God, true greatness is measured by service. It is not seen by how high up the ladder we have climbed, but it is seen by how far low the ladder we have climbed, so that others may be saved. That is true greatness. And I think as we look at Christ, we see that picture.
Someone
who came from heaven and became the most useless person in the world, living and staying in places like Nazareth, despised places like Galilee. Anything good come from Galilee? But that's the man who saved more than any man can save, coming from Galilee. So don't blame your history, don't blame your background, don't blame anything. It doesn't matter where you come from. Save the church. 5th and lastly, and I know you love this one, because of salvation, serving others is rich in giving. It's rich in giving. You must give freely to show how you appreciate what God has given to you. When you give, you show that what has been given to you does not rule your life, but He who has given is the one who is in charge of your life. First, you give with yourself. Then we give. You give with what you have. Giving, my friend, may not be obligatory, but God is expecting us to give. With yourself, like I said, with what you have, especially your money. Nigela mzalwane.
Give with your money.
Don't worry about Pastor Spoo says that rich young ruler's money he was chased away. Bring it. If you don't want it, Spoo, bring it to Olivan. I'm just joking in a different context. Bring your money, church. I'm so wondering why our churches need to give. If they understand the grace and the sovereignty of God, that God rules everything. You cannot have anything unless God gives. If we understand that, friends, give. That is serving. Serve with yourself and what you have. Many scriptures I can read, but let me read this one to you quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13 to 14. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanksgiving to God. Because of the service by which you have provided yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that is accompanied by your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for the generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers, as you're giving, in their prayers for you, in their hearts, their hearts will go out for you because of the surpassing grace God has given to you. Give to others. So that, give to the church, so that we can pray also for you. If you view prayer and God, give. So friends, let me close like this. If you have to serve others, you need to serve with a Christ-like attitude, a Christ-centered mentality. You need to remember that you are free from the weight of sin, you are free from worldliness. You do not do things because of religious demands, but because your salvation cries out, I want to do something. I want to save someone. So you need to give up your ego, my friend. Give up your pride. Climb off your high horse. Be generous and hospitable. Open your home and your heart to others. Share with them what you have. Accept people, including the unbelievers. Accept them and show them then to Christ. Show respect to people. The way you speak, be patient to others. Be honest. Put others first. Help others carry their own burden. Learn to give generously. And one day you hear these words from Jesus. I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you welcomed me. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Truly I say then to you, as you did this to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Friends, regardless of how people relate to us, serve with love. Use the spirit given gift to serve others. See people the way God see them. Do not discriminate.
May
the good Lord bless us.
Amen.
Amen.
Pray for us. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we give you glory and thanks for this word. We are encouraged, Almighty God, we are reminded that you are to be givers, that we are to love others and put others before ourselves, even as you put us, O Heavenly Father, while we were yet sinners, while we hated you and despised you and turned our backs against you, O Lord, yet you had mercy upon us. So teach us, O Heavenly Father, to have the same sort of kindness that you had upon others, O Lord, who reject us, who do not love us, but you love them yet the same, O Heavenly Father, to open our homes, to open our hearts and welcome them, to open our lives, O Lord, to helping others, to give ourselves without putting ourselves first, O Lord, to put pride aside, to not look at our statuses, O Heavenly Father, but to put you first, to look upon the cross and see what you have done, and so that we might do the same. We say all this and we humble ourselves before you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.